We have been, obviously, hopefully, defeating some giants. Hopefully we have been. And, you know, we can't defeat them if we don't know what they are. And I thought I was doing a fairly good job in teaching you. So who can tell me what the giants were we talked about?
Fear.
What? Fear is one.
Doubt
was one. Hopelessness. Who said that? Hopelessness. Hopelessness, doubt, and fear. 3 of 20. We're going to work on 20 of them. That's 3 of 20. And so again, you know, I looked at that list that you had given to me. These are your giants. Maybe more general, but I can't be specific with them. I can't name names, obviously. So again, what I did was, Sissy and I, we prayed about them. We put them in a list, and then I kind of looked at all of them and generalized them. Everybody gets the idea, right? So the first one was hopelessness. The second one was doubt. The third one was fear. Today is the fourth giant in the list of giants that you gave to me. Ooh, I hear some oohs. Whoa. I'm tempted not to go here. Temptation. Temptation. How huge is temptation, do you think, in the family of God? How far has that been going back?
All the way to the beginning,
doesn't it? I mean, temptation goes all the way back to the first man and the first woman. All the way back. And how long has it been a problem? Since then. And so that's a pretty easy one to define in the life of believers, because it's been going back all the way since the first man and woman walked on the earth. Temptation, right? And that's a big deal. And temptation comes in a whole bunch of different kinds of colors, right? We can be tempted with a whole bunch of different things. And on that list of 48 giants, there were specific things. Specific things. And I'm not going to discuss specific things. I'm going to talk about general, the whole concept of temptation. How many know you can be tempted in a whole host of ways? A whole host of different ways, right? And so we're going to talk about temptation, and we're going to talk about how to defeat it, and we're going to talk about the nuances of it. Why do you get yourself in trouble in the first place? So we need to turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and 6, because temptation goes that far back. All the way to the first book of the Bible, and our canon of Scripture, they've been having a problem with it. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate.
I think most of you have heard something about that passage of Scripture since you've been in your Sunday school days, right? And that whole chapter we read, the verse that we read, 1 to 6, is known as something. What's it known as?
Man.
A fall of man. That's it, right there. Fall of man. And what was the precursor to the fall of man? Temptation. And after temptation followed what? The fall. See, temptation almost always leads to what? Consequences. Doesn't it, Jimmy? And so that's known as the fall of man. And that started in the very beginning. And the tempter came in. And what's the name of the tempter? Satan. He came in. And he presented it. And they bit. They bit. And so we have to talk a little bit about what was going on here. Where was the tree located? In the middle of the garden. Why the middle? That's an interesting concept, right? Why the middle? Why not on the outskirts? Why not someplace they didn't know where it was? Why did God put it right in the middle? Some people say so that they could be tempted. No. Why did God not hide it in the far left-hand corner? Why did he put it right in the middle? Interesting concept. Why there? Well, so that Adam and Eve would know exactly where not to go. See, if it was in a far corner, Adam and Eve could have maybe moseyed on over there and stumbled upon it by mistake. Right? Or maybe it was on over there in the right-hand corner and they moseyed on over there and said, oh, what is that? Oh, no. God said, it's right there. So don't what? Don't go there. Don't go there. You see, the first lesson that we need to learn here about the fall of man is that we have to clearly understand that you can reduce your temptation by not going where it is located. Just don't what? Go there. Just don't go there. You see, Adam and Eve could have avoided the whole incident by not what? Going where? There. So the first lesson that we have to learn about temptation, if you really want to conquer it, you have to learn that we can reduce it by not going to the places that are tempting to you. Isn't that fascinating truth? How many that's pretty simple, right? And that's simple. Just don't what, Chrissy? Go there. If you're tempted by this, or you're tempted by that, or you're tempted over there, or you're tempted over there, Clyde, what should you do? Don't go there. Just avoid it. Just don't go there. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Matthew 26:41.
Watch and pray, lest you enter the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Do not enter what?
Don't enter in.
Don't enter in. If you're tempted in a particular kind of way, and that particular kind of way is over there, what should you not do? Don't go over there. You see, it says, watch and pray lest you what? Enter into. Which means you walk right into it. And you think that you won't be tempted. How many know bad decision? Bad decision. And so we have to understand that when Adam and Eve did, God clearly said, here's the tree and it's in the middle. You can go around the whole garden, but don't eat of that tree. Don't do it. You can go anywhere else you want in the garden. You can mosey around the whole garden, but don't eat that tree. And there it is. You have no excuse, because guess what? There it what, yo, is. It's right there. So don't what? Don't go there. Of course, we know what happened, right? They went. They went. How many of us have fallen into temptation by going someplace we should not have gone? How many want to be bold here? Who's fallen into temptation by going someplace you shouldn't have gone? And how many know you shouldn't have gone when you did go? Don't go. But yet, what do? We go. We go. You will get hurt. You will get hurt many times by going to the wrong places. Romans 13:14. Let's take a look at it.
But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Lesson number two. The door of temptation always opens when you decide to be tempted. Let's run by that again. See, the door of temptation will swing wide open when you have made the decision to be what? Tempted. You know, I'm always tempted in this place. So I decide I'm still going to what? Go there. So I go to this place where I am tempted. The minute you go, guess what happens to the door? It opens. Every single time. Every single time. That when you go to the place that you know you should not be going to, guess what happens to the door, Scott? Opens. Wide open. How many's ever fallen into that before? You say to yourself, boy, I hope it doesn't happen. But the minute you enter within, the door goes what, Colin? Wide open. Wide open. Every single time. Every single time. Let's go to Romans 13:14. Read it again.
But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Make no provision for your flesh. Because your flesh is what? How many have weak flesh? Man, is that us, right? Everybody take a little pinch of your arm here. This is the flesh. This is the flesh. How many know that we love to please the flesh? We really do, church. We love to, we love to take care of this, man. We take this thing out to eat in nice restaurants. We take this thing, we hang nice clothes on it. We put gold stuff all over it. We take this thing on vacations. We take this thing and lay out it. Oh, we take good care of this. How many know we take good care of this, don't we? How many know we don't deprive this of almost nothing? Do we? How many love to please this? But it says what? Make no what? No provision for what? Because once you make provisions for this, once you start to think about this, the door what? Wide open. Let's go to James 1:14.
But each one is tempted when he drawn away by his own desires and enticed.
A person starts to be tempted when he's carried away by his own desires. It's hard to be victorious over temptation when you're overcome by it. I'll tell you a little story. Little Bobby wants to go swimming in the lake. So he asks his mother, can I go swimming in the lake? Mother says, no, Bobby. No, do not go swimming in the lake. Do you understand me, Bobby? Don't go swimming in the lake. And Bobby says, yes, Mom, I understand perfectly well. Don't go swimming in the lake. So he packs his backpack. He's got all his stuff in his backpack. He decides to put a pair of swimming trunks in just in case. I clearly understand that I'm not supposed to go swimming in the lake, but I'll pack a set of trunks just what? In case. How many know that kid's going swimming in the lake? Because he made a what? He made a provision. He said, well, I know I'm not going to, but just in case, I'll put some trunks in. Just in case. I decide to do what? Let's go swimming in the lake. He made provisions for the lustly desires. I'm still trying to lose weight. I'm down about 20 some pounds. I want to lose some more. But I love chips and dip. Gosh, how many love chip and dip? I mean, Glenn, come on, you. And add some pretzels in that thing. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And so, I mean, that's just a big deal for me, you know. And ice cream. Who likes ice cream? Oh, butter pecan. Oh, what's your favorite ice cream?
Maple walnut.
What's yours, Whitey? Mint chocolate. You guys should just rattle these things off. Kathy, what's yours? Chocolate chip. What's your favorite ice cream, yo?
Vanilla and almond.
Vanilla and almond. How many got a favorite? Woo! Now listen to me. Now, everybody kind of knows that if we eat chips and dip and pretzels all day long and eat ice cream all day long, we're going to get a portly kind of definition, won't we? And so what we decide to do is say, you know what? I am not going to eat any more ice cream for this entire year. I am going to get swim and slim down. I'm going to get healthier, right? Where should you probably not go? I mean, come on. Where should you probably not go? The football game's gone, chips and dip and pretzels. Oh, my gosh, the only thing better than that is to wash it down with some ice cream, right? And so you decide, you're thinking about it. You're thinking, oh, man, the football game's on. Oh, I love chips and dip. And you put some pretzels in that thing. Oh, I know I shouldn't. I want to continue to lose weight. But I do have to go to the store. I'm just saying. And I have to, I forgot to pick up toilet paper. Yeah, that's it. I forgot to pick up toilet paper. So you go over to where the toilet paper is, you walk right past what? The ice cream. Oh, the ice cream. Oh. And on the way out of the ice cream aisle, you walk past. There they are, right there, calling my name. Now, how could I have avoided that in the first place? By not making the provision that I would have the opportunity to buy it. Every time, you walk into temptation, the door goes what? It's on the freezer in my case. Every time you make provisions. Let's turn to Genesis 2:17.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
You see, Adam and Eve had to do something before they ate. What did they have to do?
Make a choice.
Well, they had to make a choice, but then they had to go to where?
Where the tree was.
They had to go right smack dab where? In the middle. They had to go. See, if they stood out on the perimeters, their arm wasn't long enough to reach it. They had to do what? They had to go. And I'm sure that they probably went just to take a peek. Hey, you know that tree we're not supposed to eat? Why don't we just go on over and what? Take a look. And you go take a look, what happens to the door? There it is. Swings right open every time. And so the first thing that we need to do to avoid temptation is do not go to the places where you are tempted. The second thing you need to do is to make a decision that you will not open the door. The third lesson that you need to understand is because when you open the door, somebody's waiting for you. Who's waiting for you? Satan. And the passage of Scripture talks about Cain and Abel. How many remember that story? God says to Cain, what? Be very careful, Cain. Be very careful with what you're thinking. Be very careful with the plans you are concocting, because somebody's right outside your door. Who's that? Satan. When you open the door to temptation, somebody is waiting right there for you. Every single time. And he knows. He knows all about it. Why is Satan there? Why is he there? Waiting for you. Because he knows where your place is. Well, how does he know where your place is? He's been watching you. He knows. And guess who else knows where your place is? And who else outside of God? You. You know. Oh, you know. You know where that place is that tempts you. You know the issues that tempt you. And Satan has been watching you. Watching you. And when you open up the door and you go to that place where you're going to be tempted, Satan is there and says, gotcha. Gotcha. And he will make it seem to you that there are no consequences to your actions at all, whatsoever. He'll go to me in the ice cream store and say, thou shalt not get fat. Even though it has 10 grams of fat, thou shalt not get fat. All you will have to do is go around the block and walk 10 times. Get those chips and get those dips. It's no problem. Thou shalt not get fat. How many know he's a liar? And he will do it every time. When you open the door, Satan is there for you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, 26 to 27.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
Give place for the devil. When you go to that place, when you enter within that place, when you enter into that activity, when you enter into whatever that is, where the temptation is, and you open that door, Satan takes his big foot and does what? Stops it from closing. Puts his foot in it. You're not getting out. Because he stops it. How many understand that too? When you're in, you got company. And what's he going to do? Put his foot in the door so it can't be what? Closed. How many's ever fallen in, I don't want to be specific. How many's ever fallen into temptation? Well, I'm going to get out of here before I do whatever I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of here. How many know? You can't. You can't. He's there. And he's got what? You. The fourth lesson that we need to learn is once you are under the influence of the temptation, you will become blind to the consequences. The consequences are no longer an issue. That's not on the forefront of your mind. How many say amen to that? When you are involved in the temptation, whatever it is, and Satan is in, he's got a foot in the door, and he's feeding you, thou shalt not get fat stuff, you are no longer concerned about the consequences. Because now it has you. There was a famous mansion in Florida. It was open to the public. Very famous mansion. And the curator of the mansion was getting upset because all over, it was you know, back in the 1700s, there was unbelievable, beautiful curtains all over the windows. And he had a sign up that says, do not touch. Do not touch. But guess what everybody's doing? Touching. You want to feel the fabric, right? Oh, look how beautiful this is. Oh, it's awesome. And peek out the window. He couldn't stop them. He said, big signs, do not touch. They didn't stop. So he changed the sign. Wash your hands immediately after touching. Wash your hands immediately after touching. He watched what happened. Went, don't touch it. Come here, Johnny. Don't touch those curtains. Wasn't that fascinating? Same curtain. But now everybody was warning everybody else about what? Don't touch it. Because they were more concerned now about what? The consequences of touching it. Worried about the consequences of touching it. What if God had a sign for you? He said, do not touch. Of course you will. But he said, going to hell. Would you touch it then? If the big old sign said, do this, going to hell, would you still do it? I wonder if you still would do it. Fifth thing. The pull of temptation increases the closer you get to the forbidden fruit. The closer that you get to the temptation, the bigger it gets. And the power is like a magnet. It sucks you right in. How many understand that too? How many times have every one of us said, boy, I don't want to do that. Boy, I don't want to do that. Boy, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. And you enter in the forbidden place. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You open the door, right? Satan goes, boom! There you are. There's the temptation. There it is. You're saying to yourself, oh, yep. But what consequences? There's no consequences. Thou shalt not get fat. And the more you go, that's good, Becca, huh? And the more you go in, the power just sucks you right in. How many understand that? How many know temptation is so powerful, that once it's got you, I mean, how many know the outcome? Once it got you, you're God. You are God. The pull of temptation increases the closer that you get. Willpower gets weaker as a temptation gets stronger. How are you going to defeat it? You have to cut the temptation off at the source before you get sucked in. Where's the source? Everybody know where the source is? Right here. It's right here. You have to defeat the temptation where? Here. Right here. You have to cut the thoughts off right here. You can't let the thoughts suck you in and go to that place where you know you're going to be tempted. You go to that place, the door's going to swing open, right? Every time the door's going to swing open, you're going to go and Satan's going to go, you're not getting out now. That door is open now. And the power of temptation sucks you in and you don't think about the consequences anymore. How many's ever been in that situation before? That's what happens. That's what happens every single time. Let's go to Matthew 26:41.
Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Watch and pray lest you what? Enter into a conscious effort. You decide. You decide, and then you go. How many's been in that situation? You decide, and then you have to go. And it says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many pick up some weak flesh? How many know this is weak? This stuff here is weak. And all this whole lesson, I've been teaching you about temptation. I'm probably going to stop with a giant eagle and get me some waffles and some French onion dip. I don't want to.
Yes, you do.
Ooh. Suck it. She put a foot in the door, didn't she? Why do I want to, Yoshiko? Thou shalt not get fat. Here's where we go wrong, brothers and sisters. This is where we go wrong in the whole arena of temptation. You see, what we do it backwards. We try to resist it. And you cannot resist it. It's too powerful. It's too powerful. So what we have to do instead of trying to resist it is to run away. Run away. You are not powerful enough to say to me, well, this time I'll be able to avoid it. Now, how many times have you said that? Bob? You know you can't. So what you have to do instead of trying to resist it is you have to what, Eric? Run away. Fast. Get out of trouble. You are no match for it. It just isn't going to happen. What we always try to do, and we do it wrong, is we say, I can resist it. There was a farm boy. He snuck into the farmer's orchard. Luscious red apples. Love them. And the farmer said, hey boy, are you trying to steal my apples again? The boy said, no, I'm trying hard not to. If the boy really wanted to try hard not to steal those farmer's apples, what should he have not done? Gone there in the first place. We do it backwards, brothers and sisters. We try to resist it. And what we got to do is we have to run from it. Most of us are trying the not to. The harder we try the not to, the more we will fail. So many of us try so hard at not doing something. How many ever done that before? You work hard at not doing it. I'm not going to do it. And the more you try on the not going to do it, the more power it has to make you want to do it. It says, the spirit indeed is willing. We don't want to. Who wants to? But the flesh is what? Weak. The flesh is weak. I said to a person the other day, at Teen Challenge, and we're all adults here, right? There's no kids in this room, right? We're all downstairs. This guy had a problem with pornography. Big time. Big time problem with pornography. And he was talking to me on Sunday. Big time. And that's why he was there. And I said to this individual, well, I can help you with that. I can help you with that. Oh, good, because I'm getting out of here and I don't want to have that problem. I said, perfect. I need for you to bring me your internet provider and the account number and the phone number. Well, why do you want that? Well, you bring it. I'll help you. You just bring it. Bring me the internet provider that you use and the account number and the phone number, and I'm going to help you with your temptation. Okay. So he brought it to me. He said, what are you going to do? I'm canceling it. You're done. You're toast. Done. I'm canceling it today. Whoa. Oh, wait. You want help or not? Do you want help with it or not? Well, of course I want. We're canceling it. And I have good news for you. I'm going to get you a new one. I have a new one. You still have it. It's called Angel Watch. But see, they filter it before it gets into your house. And you don't have the password. You can't look at it because it doesn't come in. You know, said to me, well, what if I want to do research on breast cancer? So, I pulled up a chair, and I went, really, dude? Really? You you're going to try to lay it out on me. Really? How do we know he doesn't want to avoid it? It's like the little kid that puts the trunks in the backpack. Just in case. Just in case. See, you have to make provision to run away. You cannot say, I don't want to. You cannot say, I won't do it. Yes, you will. Because the flesh is what? Weak. You know how I can get away? No more chips and dip? Giant Eagle bans me from the store. Costco has the best chocolate cake. Oh, let me just shake my girlfriend's hand. Oh, the all-American ultimate chocolate cake. Do you know they have that back there? The ultimate chocolate cake. Oh, you guys ever have the great American ultimate chocolate cake? Oh, Satan made it. There's no question that he made it. He made it. And you know, they have, sometimes the Costco's have little helpers too, because they have that stuff cooking. They have a, hey, you want to try some of this? How many of you have been in Costco's or Sam's Club? Hey, you want to try some of this? It's only $8.99 a pound. But I only go into Costco's to see Becca. Not for the all. Becca, I'll stop and see you this afternoon. How many know where I'm going? Get that cake! Because you cannot say no, it's not possible. So, the Bible says, and this is important, the Bible says resist temptation and it will flee. Right? Resist temptation and you'll conquer. That's what it says, right? So people are thinking, they're going,
no, it says flee from temptation.
It says resist the devil and he will flee. It doesn't say resist temptation. No, it doesn't say that. It does not say resist temptation. It says to do what from it? Run! Run! Turn to your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. There it is.
Therefore, my beloved, flee from adultery.
Flee! Flee! Go away! You gotta run! You gotta get out of Dodge! You can't say, oh, there's temptation. Oh, how wonderful. Look at that great American chocolate cake. That thing is like that high. It's made with chocolate stuff inside. It's got sprinkles of chocolate chips all over it. And it has like Hershey bars on it. So oh my God. You can't look at temptation in the face and resist it. If you could resist it, you wouldn't have done it. And so what has to happen is you see it. What do you got to do? Run! Run! You have to what? Flee. You have to flee. Turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22.
Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
What do you got to do? Flee. Those passions that you have, those desires that you have, those things that you have, all of those things within your being that you have, they're perfectly normal. But God's got roles. So what do? Don't enter into the middle of the garden. What should you do? Run! Run! But I'm stronger. No, you're not. I won't do it this time. Yes, you will. I have all the power. No, you don't. Because of what? Weak. How many weak people we have in this room? We're weak. We are weak. And when you think you're not, thou shalt not get what? Fat. Satan says, oh, you're stronger. Come on in. I'll just tickle it, your ears for a while. Not happening. Not happening. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who would not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
How do you bear it? Make a way of what?
To escape.
Escape. That's how you don't bear it. You run away. You do not enter into a situation that's going to get yourself in trouble. You what? Run. You know, we kind of debate back and forth about why Eve said what Eve said. And I'm just planting a thought. It's just a thought as I was reading that last night. Just a thought. We know that God said to Adam, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden. Right? Freely meat of every tree in the garden. Except you may not eat of the one that's in the middle. Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat that one, because the day you eat it, you will die. Who did he give that command to? Adam and Eve, or just Adam? Adam. Gave it to Adam. So Eve comes on the scene, right? She doesn't even have the name Eve yet. She has the name woman. Isha. And it comes on the scene, and I'm sure Adam is kind of showing her around the garden. And no, this is not, you know, it's just my way of just thinking. Everybody got this. I'm just extrapolating. And Adam's showing her around the garden. And Adam says, Eve, you know, here's the kitty cats, and here's the puppy dogs, and everything, whatever. And here's all the fruit and all the trees, but Eve, the one in the middle, God said, don't eat it. Better yet, Eve, don't even touch it. See how that kind of works? Eve, God said, don't eat. But Eve, I'm telling you, Eve, don't even go near it. Don't even touch it. How many know the minute somebody tells you that? I mean, the very minute somebody says, do not look over the fence. Whatever you do, do not look over the fence. How many's going to get a stall right away? I mean, how many have that temperament? Somebody tells you not to do it, you're going, oh, I got to find out why I can't do that. How many have that temperament? Nobody? Thank you. Three. Four. See how this works? How many know when somebody tells you not to do it, you got to do it now? I mean, you just got to do it. And so the tree's in the middle of the garden, right? And then he said, don't eat it. Well, maybe Adam said to her, don't eat it, but I'm telling you, don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. Where'd she go? She had to go where? In the middle. She had to walk into the middle. And Satan probably said to her, oh, come on, Eve. Just one little bite. You don't have to eat the whole thing. Right, Eric? Just one little taste. How many know that's how temptation works? Oh, you don't have to. You don't have to eat the whole thing. Just a little bite. How many know the first bite's always better than the second one? How many know sometimes you need a third and a fourth and the fifth to satisfy the desires now? Is that not true? See, the first bite's always the best one. And then you go for that second one. Then the third and the fourth. Before long, one isn't doing it anymore. Now it's what? 10, 15, 20. And that leads to a very big word that calls what? Addiction. Addiction always starts with what? One. Just one. And then the door, what? And Satan puts his foot where? It doesn't let it close anymore. And then you keep going back to the same place. And Satan says, thou shalt not get fat. There are no consequences here. Don't worry about that. You deserve it. As hard as you work, you deserve it. Please thyself. Come on, nobody's going to get hurt. To only live once. Very good. There's that foot in the door, right? God has provided for every one of us good fruit so we won't be hungry. Let's go back to that chip and dip. I should never go into a store and I'm hungry. Right? Shouldn't do it. If I go into a 7-Eleven or a Get-Go's and I'm hungry, and I've been seeing patients all day long, and I'm hungry, I shouldn't go. I'm telling you, I shouldn't go. Could I go into that 7-Eleven, that stop-and-go kind of thing, I'm going right smack dab to what? The chips. That's where I'm going. How many understand that? That's where I'm going. Because I'm what? Practice, they've done studies. You should never go shopping for groceries when you are what? Hungry. Ever. Because they have done studies on this stuff that if you go when you're hungry, the grocery cart gets a little full of the things that you do not need. How many understand that? In fact, as they tell you, they did studies on this stuff, if you're outside in the parking lot, drink 2 bottles of water, cold water, before you go in there, because you'll go in and you won't be what? Hungry. Fascinating. And God has given to us every good fruit known to man. He has given to us. And if we eat the fruit he has given to us, we will no longer want the forbidden what? Fruit. It's the truth. It's the truth. That if we stay focused on what God has given to us, that which is good and that which is pleasing and that which is profitable, and we concentrate on that fruit, we'll not desire the forbidden one. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Walk in the Spirit. So you do not say no to temptation. You say yes to Jesus. That's the secret. A lot of people on the list of giants that they gave to me need to say yes to Jesus. Concentrate on what he gave you. Focus on that which is pure and good and pleasing. Run away fast when you are tempted. Do not allow the door to come open for Satan to stick his foot in. Concentrate on consequences. Sometimes we think, well, no one will get hurt. How many know that's a lie? That's a lie. It won't do me any harm. How many know that's a big old lie? Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And so I want to tell you now, walk in the Spirit. Do what with temptation? Flee. Run. 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 And if you need help battling, I'll give you some running shoes. If you have a problem in certain areas, bring me your internet provider and your account number. I'll take care of it for you. Oh, I am willing. I could do it for you. How many know I would do it? No, I really will do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll help you out. I'll take care of that problem this afternoon. But so many people would say to me, I can do it by myself. How many know that's a big lie? How many know, no, you can't. Because if you could, guess what? You wouldn't have the problem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the hearing of your words and this whole issue of temptation, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you give us all the strength of the Holy Spirit indwelling so that we are able to flee and to run and get rid of these things that we don't want in our lives, that we are able to take care of it. Because we can. But we cannot do it on our own, or we would have done it. If we think we can, Lord, then the question that needs to be asked, well, then why haven't we done it? We can really think we can. We can hope we can. We can pray we can. We can wish we can. We can say never again, never again, I won't, never again. But yet, the never agains, 10 times, 20 times, 50 times? No, we can't. We can't. And so, Lord, we need to be able to say to ourselves, you know what? I'm done. And Lord, everybody in this room that has any issues or anything like that, they have to make the decision, I'm done. A bunch of us can't say, you're done. They have to say, I'm done. And then they have to put the running shoes on and they have to run. Run away. Run away. And fill themselves with everything that is good and pleasing from the Lord. We have to concentrate on those things which are profitable. And we need to empty ourselves of every other thing. We need to get rid of it. Now, Lord, there are some folks in this room right now that might be saying to themselves, he's talking to me. He knows it's me. And Lord, I need to tell my brothers and my sisters, no, I don't. No, you do. You do. And so, Lord, if there are men and women in this room being convicted of this message, let them know, Lord, it's not me who convicts, it's you who convicts. Not me, it's you. And Lord, I pray for every brother and sister in this place that if they want to make a difference in their life and they want to defeat this monumental giant that's been haunting them day and night and night and day, they can do it. But they have to want to. And then they have to buy a really good pair of running shoes. And they got to run. And maybe some of us, Lord, need accountability partners. People that can go to other people and talk to them and know in their hearts that that won't be spread around every corner of this room, to every listening ear, that if somebody needs an accountability person, let those persons go to somebody else and say, hey, I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to make sure I'm on the track. I want you to make sure I'm on the path. And when, Lord, when somebody picks an accountability person, that person needs to know that that is in the strictest of confidence, never to be broken, ever. Ever. So, Lord, help us to defeat this major giant in our lives. And all of God's people said,